is this? That is the question many people ask when they encounter Jesus. The people in the synagogue ask who he was when Jesus spoke with such wisdom and authority. The crowds ask who he was when they try to figure out, is this Elijah or Moses or one other prophet? And even the disciples, his very people who walked and talked and ate with him, ask, who is this? When on a boat that day, the winds and the waves began to rage, and Jesus spoke peace before it capsized. But there were people for whom that question did not matter. People such as Jairus, the synagogue's leader who came to Jesus pleading for his daughter's life. Jairus may not have known who Jesus was, but he trusted in what Jesus could do. We tend to know who a person really is, not by their titles or labels or who people say they are. We know who they really are by their actions. After all, actions often speak louder than words. And Jesus, he fed, restored, and healed. He touched, included, and loved. He showed mercy, advocated, and raged with indignant anger. Through Christ, people's lives were made whole. Where once there was no hope, in him they found hope. Where once they were lost, in him they were found. Where once they believed themselves forsaken, in him they knew themselves blessed. Where once they were rejected, in him they were welcomed and wanted. Jesus spoke not simply as a wise rabbi or a holy prophet. He spoke as the word of God made flesh. The visible image of the invisible God, the Messiah whom God had sent to save all of us. In Jesus Christ, we learn that God, who is love, will leave the many and go in search of the one. We, you and I, are that important to God. And it is not because we have earned it or deserve it or have a right to it. It is not because of our status or privilege. It is by God's grace and grace alone. For we love God because God loved us first. Yet sometimes it's a hard lesson for us to learn. It's hard to absorb that message of love, especially when the culture tells us otherwise. This culture in which we are formed and shaped and molded, the culture in which helps us to have a worldview and to see and to hear and to understand the world around us. It's hard to grasp that message when the culture tells us otherwise. In Jesus' day, as it is in our own time, privilege went a long way. Status spoke volumes, social class opened doors, networking connections made things happen. Although all of us may be in need, access is more readily available to some than others. That is the way of the world. Jairus, a high-ranking leader in his community, came to Jesus boldly as he humbly asked for what he needed. Yes, he did so with humility, but he did so front and center, out in the open, for the whole world to see. He had no fear of being turned away by the disciples, no fear of being berated because of the state of his need, no fear of being shamed in his vulnerable estate, no fear of having to prove himself worthy of the right to even ask for help. Because of his privilege, Jairus fear, Jairus' fear was focused solely on the welfare of his daughter. And that's as it should be. It should be that when we come before the Lord, troubled and weary, thirsty for help and hope, and filled with sorrow, Christ's actions have told us that no matter what the circumstance, no matter who or what we are, our approach to God is a welcomed act. For Christ, who died on the cross, did so that we might be reconciled to God and never forsaken by him. No matter who we are, or where we're from, or what we've done. But for some, this is a hard message to absorb. It's a hard lesson to learn. The unnamed woman did not understand this. At one time, she may have been a woman of means. The scripture tells us that she spent everything she had in order to try and save her life. And it was to no avail. No one could heal her. No one could stop this flow of blood, her life flow just ebbing away. No one except Jesus. But why would he? Why would he want to help her? She was troubled, weary, and dying, but she had no privilege, no social standing, no status of which could afford her access to him. According to her culture, she was unclean, and to many, her ailment was a result of some great sin that God was visiting upon her, this punishment for something she had done. Therefore, she risked rejection, denial, condemnation, shame. For in the eyes of many, she was considered unworthy of being helped and even unworthy of asking for help. So, instead of asking, she took what she needed. She took what she needed. How many people are desperately in need and know they will not get help, and so they take it. She reached out in this crowd, touched Jesus' robe, and seized his power for herself. And miraculously, the bleeding stopped. She was cured. The story could have ended here. She could have gone about her way, and no one would have known otherwise. But, there's always a but. But she needed to know. She needed to know that she did not take something that was not meant for her. My mom tells this wonderful story of a time when she and her four siblings had moved in with her aunt and uncle after her mother had died. She and her brother were 10 and 9, respectively, still hurting from their loss and grateful to their aunt and uncle for keeping them together as a family. And so when they asked, "What do you want for Christmas?" they said, "We don't want anything. We're just happy to be here." But one evening, they saw their uncle put two boxes of roller skates up in the top shelf of his closet. And when they asked what was it, he told them that it was a Christmas present for his sister's children. My mom said every morning after that, when her uncle and aunt went to work, she and her brother would take the roller skates out of the top closet and put them on. And then they would teach each other how to skate by pushing each other back and forth up and down the hallway in the apartment. When Christmas morning came, you could imagine the shock looked on their faces when the skates had their names on it. They were thrilled because it was one thing to enjoy the skates when they thought it belonged to someone else. But it was a whole other thing when they learned that the skates were meant for them all along. The unnamed woman needed to know that she did not take something that was meant for someone else. She was meant to be more than cured. She was meant to experience the healing wholeness of Christ, to be healed of the ailment that threatened her body, but also to be healed of the very thing that broke her spirit, the shame that she carried for 12 years, the fear, the rejection, the sense of not belonging and not being a part of anything or anyone. Jesus called out to her, and when she came, he called her daughter. She belonged. She was safe. She was loved and could be now at peace. My brothers and sisters, Jesus offers so much more than fast fixes and easy cures. He offers so much more than relieving our ailments. He gives us his presence that lets us know that we are not alone, even in the midst of trials and suffering and sorrow and challenges. Through his Spirit, he whispers words of belonging, calling us beloved, so that even if no one else wants or welcomes us, we know that we belong to God. And he calls us to come and find our rest and our peace in him. We know this not only by his words, but by his actions. His actions on the cross, purely out of love for the world. It is our faith that helps to claim his love as our own. It is our faith that seizes that gift of grace that extends to all of us freely. To claim that love, to live into that love, to be healed by that love, is not to take something that is not meant for us. It is to acknowledge God as the lover of our souls, the one who made us whole and offers us this gift of grace and wholeness. And that is what the church, the body of Christ, is meant to offer, not just to our communities, but to our world. Not quick fixes or easy cures. We offer the healing wholeness of Christ, who sends us, the church, into the world to be the presence of God. To be present, to love, to comfort, to hold, to give meaning to those that are hurting and lost and troubled and alone and rejected and weary. We anoint pain and suffering as holy, acknowledging that it is real, it matters, and that God is in the midst of it. And we touch with our hands and our hearts and our words so that healing might flow to everyone. We share the message and live the story that the healing wholeness of Christ is meant for everyone, no matter what, no matter who, no matter where. May our faith and our actions lay hold of the truth, that truth, and may we be made well because of it. Amen. Let us pray. O holy and eternal God, we give thanks, O Lord, for this great love that you have for this world, for all of us who are in it, created in your image. And we thank you for this message that you have given your church, to be shared with all everywhere, in all time and place. Help us, O God, to live into who it is that you are calling us to be, that we might share that message of love through Jesus Christ, that healing and whole message that sets us free and grants us peace. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.